I'm curious as to hearing what we've heard the last 24, 48 hours from JD and knowing how contentious this situation's been throughout, where are you on this Johansson Blue Jackets negotiation?
Well, I mean, where I am is in the camp that thinks this thing isn't going to get done very quickly. And, you know, I kind of heard that going back to last week with people close to this, that they really felt that Ryan Johansson was, you know, prepared to sit out. And I think you're going to see a little bit of a cooling off period after yesterday, because obviously, you know, those are some sort of harsh words to exchange publicly. It's not something we see very often where John Davidson came out and basically disclosed the three different salary structures they proposed on different contracts. And then also, you know, it's pretty critical of the player. And I think, you know, for someone who's so important to that organization, you know, one of their main guys, you know, that's going to leave a little bit of a mark. And I do really think that, you know, once you go through that there is going to be a period here where there aren't talks. You know, Ryan Johansson's back in Vancouver now. He's going to skate with the WHL's Vancouver Giants. And, you know, it might take until, you know, even to the regular season before they can get back to the table and hammer out a deal.
So, and there's no doubt about it. Like, are we talking about this getting rectified prior to the start of the regular season? Are we talking about this going deep into the regular season? Like, this doesn't seem like it's right around the corner at all.
It doesn't. And, you know, I think the real thing to watch now is just, you know, how firm Ryan Johansson, through his agent Kurt Overhart, is prepared to be. I mean, this is something that Kurt has done in the past with his clients, be it Kyle Turris and the like. And I just think that, you know, he's likely, prepared him for this. And if you're Ryan Johansson, the only real way now that you can exact pressure is by legitimately sitting out and possibly missing games and watching the team play without you. And you know, it might take that before they're able to get back to the bargaining table. Because, you know, what John Davidson's comments in particular screamed to me was just how frustrated he is. You know, you don't normally hear that type of thing publicly when these contract talks go on. And I do think it's a real sign of where they're at. And right now that they feel like they're nowhere, almost with nowhere to start, because they're so far apart in their views of what this contract should be.
You were very much all over the Ryan O'Reilly situation, from the offer sheet given to him by the Calgary Flames to the resolution of that and so on and so forth. O'Reilly has now finished that offer sheet, has a new 2-year contract, but it seems like year in, year out, or season in, season out, it's kind of a guessing game. Is O'Reilly going to be there? Are they going to look to trade him? Doesn't look like that's still a long-term fit, even though he's still in Colorado. Even if Johansson signs in Columbus, is there a chance that it kind of ends up in a scenario like this?
You know, it might. You know, I could definitely see where this will last longer than even, you know, beyond where they make a deal. And, you know, with Ryan O'Reilly, I still think he ends up as a long-term Colorado Avalanche.
Okay.
You know, there is some bridge building to be done there. And you know, I think when you see them let Paul Stastny go away in free agency, I can't imagine them letting another, you know, young centerman talented as Ryan O'Reilly is leaving. But, you know, there's definitely a feeling of, I don't know, bad blood's probably a little too strong, but you know, I think that everyone has long memories when you go through something like that. We even saw it this summer with PK Subban, who remembered, you know, his time without a contract after the lockout ended. He missed a couple games before ultimately signing and then winning the Norris Trophy, and it was still a tough next negotiation. I mean, these sort of things usually do set the stage for multiple trips, and you know, maybe I'll be surprised in this, but I would think when Johansson's contract does end, it will be something of a 2-year type of deal. Mm-hmm. and they are going to have to get back to the bargaining table sooner than later if that's what ends up happening.
Or does this go the Kyle Turris route, where he signed in Phoenix but was traded to Ottawa very shortly afterwards?
It could. You know, I think what separates it from the Turris situation is back then Kyle really wanted a change of scenery, and at least from, you know, the people I've spoken to close to this, I don't think that's really what's at play here for Ryan Johansson. I don't think he has any issue, you know, being a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Right.
Purely about money and setting himself up and getting what he believes he deserves. And, you know, the reality is when you're negotiating your second NHL contract as a player, you don't have rights. I mean, the only real thing you can do is sit out, as I mentioned. And that's, you know, clearly what's happened. You know, he kind of has no choice. If he doesn't have a contract, I don't expect him to go to training camp. But, you know, this is really the only way he can exact some pressure on the situation. And if he's going to stick to his guns, you know, I still think there's a way to get it done. But, you know, based on what we heard yesterday, I just don't see them getting back to the table soon. I think that everyone's got to kind of clear their heads and take a fresh look at this, you know, at some point in the next week or two.
NHL on Sportsnet Insider, Chris Johnston's with us here on Hockey Central at noon. You've been following this Teemu Selanne, Bruce Boudreau story pretty closely as well, and reading your article on Sportsnet.ca today. So basically, the gist of it is, retired Selanne, some pretty harsh criticisms in a forthcoming biography about his former head coach, Bruce Boudreau, said some things about didn't like the way he was treated and handled there in his final season in the NHL, so on and so forth. How surprised were you to read comments like that attributed to Selanne?
It's fascinating. You know, to me, I got my hands on that a day ago or so. It was a book written and finished that I was able to have translated. And you know, really, we're not used to hearing that much honesty from players, you know, especially in this case. It's clearly an on-the-record type of situation. It's something that exists, and it was an authorized biography in this case, written by a Finnish journalist, but with, you know, Selanne's complete support and ability to control what made it in and what didn't. And, you know, you just, again, for especially even a legendary player, one who means as much to the Ducks as Teemu Selanne does, you know, I think that is what kind of surprises you. But, you know, it also shows how difficult it was for this guy to get old, essentially, you know, the way of saying it, and slow down and sort of see his career coming to an end. I mean, that to me, beyond, once you get beyond sort of the headline quotes and the ones that really, you know, jump out at you, is what I'm left with is just, you know, a window into how tough it was for this guy to move on from his career and just sort of see it end. And I think a lot of his frustration ended up being pointed at Bruce Boudreau because he was the one who had to start scaling back that ice time and his role with the team.
So did you get the feeling that maybe Selanne was, as angry as he was at Boudreau, that maybe he was a little off base in where he thought he was in his NHL career and that type of stuff?
You know, maybe a little bit. You know, one thing that jumps out, he mentioned after in summer of 2013, when he took a long time before signing his last one-year deal with the Ducks, that they first considered, you know, maybe taking a contract offer from the LA Kings, one from the Winnipeg Jets, because, you know, he felt that he just couldn't do it one more year with Boudreau. But he said what sort of changed that was that they had a meeting and he was essentially promised to get a role on the power play and he was promised to get about 15 minutes a night. And then he goes on to complain more about what ended up happening. But if you look at it, he ended up playing just a little less than 14:10 a night. I think 2 minutes or so an average per game were on the power play. I mean, it seems to me that in many ways Boudreau lived up to what he said, but it just, you know, was tough for him to take. But, you know, I don't want to be too critical of Selanne either. I mean, this is obviously an awkward situation, but, you know, it was his biography and he stood by his words. You know, he hasn't tried to claim he was misquoted or anything. You know, he's being honest in a book he's published, I think, for the point of giving more insight into him. And, you know, for those of us in the news business, in some ways we should celebrate that, but, you know, it's made for a pretty interesting first day, I would bet, down in Anaheim at their training camp today.
Hearing criticism from a player after the fact about Bruce Boudreau, that doesn't necessarily surprise you, does it? Because he can be a tough guy to play for, we've been told.
Well, and it's not surprising coming from Selanne either. I mean, I was in Sochi with him where he ended up playing more of a frontline role for the Finnish team and scored lots of goals, had success. And he kept bringing it up in his interviews after those games about how he wished he had this kind of role with the Ducks, which, you know, you didn't have to do much of, you know, math, or you didn't have to connect too many dots to figure out that it was a criticism and a complaint about where he was at with Anaheim. I think, you know, where the surprise comes in is that it was so public. And, you know, some of the shots, you know, I think largely it was a criticism of Bruce, you know, as a coach, you know, kind of, for, you know, in his profession. But, you know, some of the shots, you know, to me, border on personal. When he says something along the lines that team didn't deserve to win a Stanley Cup with a coach like that, you know, I think that's almost going a bit far. But, you know, again, I give him credit because he wrote it under his name and he stands by it. And,
yeah,
you know, that's his opinion. And we're all, in some ways, a little bit better for having known that, because we don't get that kind of honesty very often.
He is Sportsnet.ca's Chris Johnston, one of our NHL insiders here on Hockey Central at noon. Final topic would shift to Minnesota, where the whole goaltending scenario has taken another odd twist. Apparently, Josh Harding is gone for a number of months, not because of a hockey-related injury, but he kicked the wall, hurt his ankle after an altercation with a teammate. Now it's Nick Backstrom and kind of nobody else, and Darcy Kemper remains unsigned. I mean, as it looks right now, that goaltending situation can't get much worse, can it?
It probably can, although, you know, they did bring Ilya Bryzgalov to camp on a tryout, and you know, from all, you know, from sounds of it, I mean, he's going to get a chance to make that team. I would think that Darcy Kuemper will eventually get a deal. His situation is similar in some ways to Ryan Johansson in that he's a restricted free agent without sort of a lot of rights to keep pushing this. And, you know, I would have to think that the change, you know, even though Chuck Fletcher, the Wild GM, has claimed otherwise, I would think the change in their status by having lost Harding in that unusual way just before camp here might change the way they're negotiating with Darcy Kuemper. So, you know, that's something that it's kind of a fluid situation. I think a lot of frustration there because they feel, you know, that they're building something, that they're a team on the rise, but no team gets very far without good goaltending. And right now, they're not entirely sure what that picture is going to look like.
Well, and from everything that we've heard, it seems like the biggest holdup is not money, not term, but whether it's a one-way or a two-way deal. It just seems like if Minnesota is going to hold so firm on that, it seems like sticking to your guns at this point seems a little foolhardy. But maybe we're just not totally privy to all the details at this point.
Well, especially with the money that's being talked about. I mean, I think that the contract ask is somewhere in the $800,000 to $900,000 range, which, you know, I granted it's real money if they ever did have to send them down to the American Hockey League that an owner has to pay to a player. But it doesn't really affect their salary cap situation very significantly because, you know, they're allowed to put that money in the minors without it counting. So, you know, it does seem a little strange, but, you know, the organization, sometimes it's not just about the decision in front of them. It's not just about Darcy Kuemper. It's about establishing certain patterns that they don't want future players to be able to come and say, well, you did it for this guy, why won't you do it for me? I mean, an example of that we see is some teams basically don't give out no trade contracts. They just don't believe in them, and they feel that once you give it to one of your, you know, main players, you're going to end up giving it to five or six guys pretty quickly. And, you know, that, there might be some of that at play here, but, you know, I would be very surprised if that particular situation dragged on much longer, as I mentioned, just because of Harding's injury kind of being a new development there. And clearly, it's not just about having the goalies on opening night. I think you need your team as best you can at these training camps, getting together, getting close, playing together, just everyone being on the same page. And it would clearly be better for the Wild to have them under contract and with the team, especially because it looks like they're going to need them maybe a little bit more than they might once thought they would.
Well, I would definitely recommend anyone to go check out sportsnet.ca right now. Front page, Chris Johnston's article on Teemu Selanne and some interesting excerpts from a forthcoming autobiography translated from Finnish to English and some really interesting quotes about Bruce Boudreau. Chris, appreciate this. Good stuff on sportsnet.ca as always, and we'll talk to you again really soon.
Anytime, Pat. Thanks for having me. And we've got a lot of news for this first day of training camp. It's been pretty interesting day around the league.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks, Chris.
Yep, bye.